good morning. Glad you made it. So from last few weeks, we have been looking, it's been a week. We are looking for next phase in our lives, right? Next phase for Renewed Hope Community. What is the next phase for us? And last week, Sandra spoke about something on the aspect of Joshua's journey, and he said how God promised him that as you're moving towards a new venture, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, the Lord will be with you. So that is something which we saw last week. We are going to continue that, the book of Joshua, from the book of Joshua, the entire book of Joshua, and we'll be looking forward few things this morning, and I believe that it will definitely help us, and help each one of us in the journey which God is calling us. So before that, let's just pray and ask God to just speak to us and allow God to work in our lives this morning. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time which you had given us, Lord. We pray that your presence will overflow this place and Lord will be able to hear your word clearly, Lord Jesus. Thank you for bringing all of us here, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we are blessed to have you as well in our presence, Father. We pray that you will open our ears and Lord, our minds so that we will be able to hear clearly, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see things what you have kept for us for our next phase, Lord, as a church, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. So last few weeks, we are talking about new and next phase. And we saw a journey where Joshua went through the wilderness to the promised land. And this morning, we are going to see something very similar to that. It's a continuation of what we saw last week. Okay. And next week, we are all going to Nilshi. And the theme, the family camp theme is revive, restore, and, redefine. And I always say that family camps are investments in our lives and our families. We should never miss it as it is a spiritual gateway. And I believe that this morning it will, it will allow us to think that, yes, this family camp is an investment in our families, for our children, for our lives. And as we move this morning, we should never miss, the spiritual gateways which God keeps us for our church. And we should rethink if we are not taking the decision yet. So, the excitement for all of us, yesterday we had wonderful time of kind of singing and, the children were playing around in the new place. The journey excites us, the new venture which God is bringing us, that leads us, to an exciting time of what God is going to do with us as a church and our family. And we also want to have to embrace that. And I would say, enjoy this journey, get equipped, and fasten your seatbelt. The journey begins, for us. And allow God to work in this journey. So this morning, I felt few things, as a church, God is asking us to embrace in this journey. Few things where God is asking us as a church to embrace in this journey. And this comes from the book of Joshua, okay, which Sandra took last week. Yes, okay. So as a church, we feel that, God is asking us to work as a team in the next phase. And Joshua 1, 16 to 18, okay, I'll read this. Turn your Bibles, it's good to we turn our pages and it's already there. If it is not there, if you have got your Bible, at least we will know where the book of Joshua is. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, okay, I'll just give some time for us to, not to read from here, but, if you have your Bibles, turn. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. Okay, then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it Whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So if you look at it, right, like, before this verses where God is saying, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. I am with you. I will fight for you. And then the people are responding to Joshua, okay? They are saying that whatever you want us to, you command us. Whatever you want us to do, we will do. Where you want us to go, we will go. We will obey what you are saying to us. We will obey. And they also bless him. They say, God be with you. And they also say that whoever rebels against your word, we will finish them off. And he says, only be strong and courageous. So they also kind of, what God promised them, we also take that to Joshua and say, you also be strong and courageous. And this morning, as we move to the next phase, we need to put trust in what, as a church, we are doing. We need to embrace what our church is bringing it forward, what our leaders are saying to us. And that is where the Israelites, it allowed Joshua, it allowed them to go to the promised land and enjoy, or like what God promised, they were able to cherish the promised land. All because everyone decided to be united. Everyone decided that they will all stand together and they will move forward. This morning I would bring this to all of us as RHC, as a church. We bring new things in the next phase. Hear what the leaders are saying to you. Do what your leaders are saying to you. Obey what your leaders are saying to you. Pray for your leaders. Stand for your leaders. Encourage your leaders. And being united. So this is not just mere words, what they said. They followed it. And there is where they were able to kind of conquer this land of Canaan, because it was not done yet. Because they all moved together and they supported the leadership and they were able to kind of move ahead. As I said, this was not mere words. This is commitment. We stand by you means it's not words. It is their 100% commitment. And we see that happening. They all were there together. And they all fought the people who were living in the land of Canaan. And they acquired the land. And they were a blessing in the future for others. So this is a commitment which RHC, our church, need to embrace. Whatever the church brings, I would say you need to kind of like just trust and say that, yes, we will move forward in that direction. Trust your leaders whom God has appointed over you. And because God has chosen them in this community, in this church, acknowledge their words, acknowledge their desires, acknowledge their teaching, acknowledge their correction, so that we as a team work together. And everyone said, we will work together. And we saw what happened. And this is Joshua 1. Just think about it. Joshua heard from God that they have to now part the river of Jordan. And the river of Jordan was fully flooded. Now, everyone has to trust what Joshua is saying, that you all have to go inside in this flooded river. As people like us, we may be thinking that what Joshua is saying, foolishness. We will die. Is he taking to us the promised land? Is he taking us to eternity? But they all embraced in faith. They stood all there. Not that Joshua was leading. The priest and his leaders, they led and they went ahead. And they first stood inside this flooded river. And the river parted. So, embrace may be difficult, may be challenging, may be something which will not make sense to us at that point. But when we move in faith, we will see God making the way for us. We need to put trust in God. And we also need to put trust in our leaders as we move to this new phase. And the Bible is very clear on this. Joshua did it, Moses did it, a lot of other leaders did it. You know, they heard God and everyone followed it, and they were able to be prosperous, and they were able to, you know, they were able to cherish the promised land which is given. The promised land was already there, but for that, they have to work as a team. And this morning, as we embrace this new journey, we all have been called to work as a team. It is not Joshua who is going to lead inside the water and say like, okay, this parted, now you all come. It may be our step of faith which will allow Joshua and others to kind of lead in that river. So, work as a team. God is calling us to work as a team in this new phase. You know, they always said, I will, you know, they said, you commanded, you command, I'll do. You ask us to go, we will go. We'll obey. We'll also pray that God be with you. You know, it was not only command. They also said, we are there with you and support you. And may God be with you. They knew that it is all because of God. So embark this new journey which God is calling us. I'm so excited to bring this to all of us, because God is asking us to take that up as a challenge and move forward. And when we move to Joshua 2, you know, we felt as a church, we need to bring people inside our community. You know, we all know the story of Rahab, and she was an outcast of the place. You know, she was a prostitute. But God had greater plans for her. And it is the people, you know, where she gave the shelter to the spies who went there to see how the land is. And that allowed them to be saved. And I'll just read it for us. Joshua chapter 2 verse 12. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives to my father, of my father and my mother and my brother and sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. And we are the community and people who will save people from death. We are the ones who will go to the enemy's camp and bring back people in the community. So as we embrace this new journey, that place is not for us. The place is for people who are in this place like this, waiting for a Savior to come and save them and bring them to a place where they will be secure. And they say, save us from death. You know, we are called to save people from their spiritual death. We are called to make people alive from their spiritual death. And there is where our church being called, you know, for the next phase for us, that bring people in this community. Bring your friends in, bring your other families in, bring your neighbors in, bring the children in, bring the youths in, bring the men and women in, people who love social, bring them in. So bring all of them, because God has a heart for them. They are waiting for someone who would come and say that you have been saved. Bring them back from that land of spiritual death and make them alive. So as a church, first we saw that we have to work together. Second, we have to bring people in so that they will be saved from death. Okay? Saved from death. So as a church, you know, we have so many things around. You know, our Bible studies are people who like discussions. People want to know more. We can invite them for our Bible studies. People who like, you know, to serve the social aspect, we have street children. People who want to kind of like, you know, engage with, you know, music, we have worship. So it is not only for us. We need to bring people in that place. Save them from their spiritual death and give them life which God is calling us for. The third thing is, you know, consecrate ourselves. You know, in Joshua, now this is Joshua 5, okay? Joshua is telling the people, Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. You know, consecrating is like dedicating. You know, it is we deciding that, we making a stand that we dedicate our life for God and for the things for the God, for our God. Means we will live our life for God. We will dedicate our life for God. So we need to consecrate ourselves, you know, as we move to the new place. His purposes, you know, we need to consecrate ourselves for His purpose and for His glory. You know, everything belongs to Him and He owns everything. So our ministries, ourselves, our lives, you know, we need to look back. We should offer our spirit, our soul, our mind, our body, everything we need to consecrate and allow God to work. So this morning, you know, God's been calling that we are all royal priesthood. As we enter in this new phase, you know, consecrate yourselves, dedicate yourselves, cleanse yourselves, so that when you go to this place which God is calling you, you are ready. You know, like if you go for war, if you're not ready, the enemy will come and attack us. But if we are ready, we know, you know, what we are doing. So consecrate ourselves. So as a church, we need to consecrate ourselves. As a church, we need to remember from where we have come from. This is Joshua 4. You know, when they parted the Jordan River, you know, this is what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 4, you know, I'll read it for us from 4 to 7. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. The stones are to be the memorial to the people of Israel forever." You know, God's asking us kind of to remember our past. Remember Hotel Peace Park? Remember the journey which God has taken us through? As we go there, you know, God is going to do great things. And why we have to remember all this? Because we will always remember God's faithfulness. You know, when we would not know how to go ahead, we will remember God's faithfulness in our lives. So it's always good to remember what God has done in our past. You know, we need to have memorials, you know, books written with dates so that we know what the Lord has done for us in the past, and He will definitely carry forward for us in the future. Remember our church. Remember all of us. You know, remember the people who has put efforts in our lives. Not only that, we need to make this, you know, become stories for our children. That we tell these stories for our children. You know that we were supposed to go here, we were supposed to do this. Today we are here because God has done great things for us. And Joshua commands the church, or commands his people, commands his army, that you have to do this. Teach your children, pass it on to the next generation. You know, in 21st century, for us, we feel everything is so easy. You know, this just happened. No. It does not happen. For us, everything happens because of God. So we need to have a memorial. You know, if there was sickness, you need to have a certificate of sickness, you know, wall framed. When people look at it, or your children look at it and say, "What is it?" You know, you have to say, "If God forbid, you know, Mama and Dada had this, but God saved us." And we bring that as a memorial where we teach our children. Joshua commanded, "Tell stones, take it from there, so that you know that when you crossed it, how the river was, and today, you know, you possess the land which God has given us." But sadly, you know, we always remember things which are negative. You know, that is how the enemy works in our lives. We always look things which are negative in our lives. We always look at things negative in the church. We always look at things negative in our families. But God says, remember this positive thing which God has done for you. God did not say, take manna and keep it for years and show. God said, something you witnessed which will remain forever. You're going to enter to the new phase. God is asking us to remember the goodness of God. God, we have to remember our journey as a church, journey as a family, journey as an individual. We need to have some kind of memorial where we can point out and say, this is what my God has done for me. And that is something which will kind of help the other person to understand. So as we embrace as a church, remember from where we have come. Remember that what God has done, and confident in what God is going to do for us in the future. And now what has happened is, like, they brought all that, they passed and they entered the land, they fought few battles. But there's something which happened which was not supposed to happen. In Joshua chapter 6, you know, as a church we need to leave the things, redeem ourselves from our sinful nature. In Joshua chapter 6, God commanded this to the entire people. God said, keep away from the devoted things. They are going for a war. God is saying, you destroy everything, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable of destruction and bring trouble on it. And God gave a clear instructions what they are not supposed to do. They are not supposed to carry something which is not pleasing to God. And they said, God said, destroy everything which is not needed for you, and you need to go the place where I am going to give. God warned them that it will bring destruction to the entire community. Destruction to the entire tribe. Okay? Now Joshua 7 and 1 and 4 and 5 will read this. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to their devoted things. You know, Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. So about 3,000, so now, you know what has happened? Something has happened in the back, and no one knows about it. And now they are going to go for a war. Okay, so now what happened in the war? So where about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the man of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. So God clearly told them, don't do this. This is not you supposed to do. If you do this, it will bring destructions. But God putting everything on the Israelites, saying that, you know, they did something which was not supposed to be done, and this is the stage. They went for war, but they are not able to win. They have been chased, you know, like crazy. So the Israelites were unfaithful. Tell me, and I have a question for all of us. Is it the Israelites were unfaithful? Yes, no. Yes? Yes, strongly. Yes, no. Yes. Or is it one man was unfaithful? Yes, no. Yes. Because of one person, the entire community struggled. Because of one person. You know, we need to know in the spiritual realm and in our physical realm. Because of one person's unfaithfulness can destroy a community. Who lost the war? The Israelites. The entire community lost. Not that everyone chose from that place where we were not, they are not supposed to touch. But there was only one person who did it. And the blame was God, the destruction was for the entire community. So God, when we embrace in this new place, we need to redeem ourselves, our sinful nature. You know, we may think many times that how can this harm my community? But it can bring destruction to our community. You know, Joshua did not knew, no one did not knew about it. Out of so many lakhs of people, only one man did it. But so many people died. And they were stuck on the slopes. And they were chased. Because of one man's unfaithfulness brought the entire community down. As we move to the next phase, we need to know our responsibilities. We need to know what I need to tell people, what I need to talk to people, what I have to, when I speak, what should I say? Because of one instance, entire RHC can be brought down. Because if God is not pleasing, the entire community has to suffer. So, we as a church need to be spiritually mature. One person's lack of faithfulness, unfaithfulness, can impact the entire community. We need to leave behind our sinful nature. Because the enemy is always in attack. He looks for opportunities. And if we give something to him, then we are gone. In 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9, I'll read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So the church is always been attacked. Spiritual side, if you look at from the spirit, physically we may not know what is happening. The family of believers are always under attack. He will bring deceit. He will bring lies. He will bring confusion. But it says, the scripture says, we need to stand firm in faith. Stand firm in faith with the community around. Stand firm in faith with the leadership which God has given you. If we don't do this, then because of us, one person, everyone can struggle. So let's look at our hearts as we move to the next phase and see to it that we do not do anything which affects the entire community, that is his bride. And if anything touches the bride, that is God's church and God's kind of, we don't know what God is going to do. So our unfaithfulness can cause, you know, the community to struggle or suffer. The next one is renew our covenant. As we as a church move to the next phase, you know, I'll read this. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses has commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and the children and the foreigners who lived among them. So he renewed what has been said. He brought things again and again back to his people that this is what God has promised. This is what we have to do when we go to the new place. So we need to keep renewing ourselves, our commitment, our love with God again and again. Remind yourself that God is working in you and God is working in our church. If we forget that, then we tend to be deceived by the enemy. So let us renew our love towards God. Let us renew our commitment towards the church. And let us renew our relationship with people which God has given us. And this renewal should happen frequently. It should not happen like once in 6 months, year. No, this renewal, we need to remind ourselves. Keep on reminding myself, saying that God loves me. God loves the church. God loves the people whom God has given. And that will really help us. We should remind ourselves that who God is for us and what it means to be part of Renewed Hope Community Church. And I'm telling you, this would be a real blessing for us. The next one is, we need to guard the community. In Joshua 9, I'll read this bit and pieces for us, okay? Verse 1. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then went Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a very distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. So how can we make a treaty with you?" They said, "We are your servants," they said Joshua. But Joshua asked, "You, who are you and from where do you have come from?" Okay. So what has happened is, there are people who are just being very close. They knew that Joshua and his army is coming to take this land. There was a group of community or a place or a people. They were known as Gibeonites. They knew that they are not going to win, or they are not going to fight the war with Joshua. So what they did, they deceived them and they put clothes and they said, "We are not here, the land which you are going to occupy. We are coming from a very far land and we have heard what God is doing and we want you to make a treaty with us that we will not touch us. You will make friendship to us and you will not go war against us." And what happened? They also, the leader Joshua and the entire people, they felt that yes, they have come from a very far land and they made a treaty with us that they are not going to destroy. But what was God's command is, when they were supposed to enter, they were supposed to occupy everything, not leave anything for anyone, because that was a promised land which God has given them. Now, something happened and they made a treaty with someone where now, because of that, they can't take them out from the land. So as we embrace, go to the new place, new phase, we need to guard our community. And just want to bring this few things, you know, how they were deceived. First of all, they did not anticipate deception. Okay, winning wars, everything is going good, worship is going good, place is coming up, everything is good, and they were on cloud nine. And decisions can be made by themselves now. So they see that everyone is fearful of this community, Joshua and his people, and they did not anticipate deception. Means danger is coming or going to come or will come one day. They did not anticipate it. They masked themselves who they were not. So we saw these people, they were just living opposite to Peace Park, but they showed them saying that we stay in where? Which place? XYZ place. And they masked themselves who they were not. They showed things which was not true. Not only they deceived, but they also showed themselves and others what something which is not true, so that the others will believe in it. And they lied. 100% lie. And why they were deceived? Because these people did not inquire from God that whether these people who have coming here, are they real? What we should do? They did not do it. So as a church, as we move forward, we should always be on our guard that there can be any time a challenge can come and someone can do this in our community as well. We need to see from the spiritual side who they are. They may mask themselves that, you know, they are doing very good. Their family is very good. Their relationship is very good. But only God can allow us to see that. You know, people can't see it, but God can see it. So we should allow God and ask God to show us. And any community can be deceived through lies, deceived through things which are not true. So we as a community, as a church, you know, God is asking us to take this step forward and guard yourself. Ready, you know, don't wait that things are going well. No. Ready, be guard yourself that things will come which is challenging, and you know, we need to allow God to work. So the Israelites thought God is with us. We just won so many battles. We have a leader, Joshua, from God. Definitely God will not allow. But some people came and deceived them. Not only Joshua, the entire leaders of Joshua were deceived. You know, in Matthew 7, you know, verse 15, you know, from verse 15 onwards it says, watch out for false prophets, they who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs and thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. And Jesus says there are wolves coming in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? It will be part of our community. It's part of our new church. And we need to guard ourselves. Be ready and see. And the Bible says you need to look for the fruits. If someone is calling you and saying something about the church and people, that means the person does not carry the fruit of the Spirit. If there is gossip which is happening about people on your back, that means that person is not carrying the fruit which God talks about. These are our signs. There are many other signs. In the spiritual realm, will we look, you know, we will see what is happening. And because of one man's, you saw, right, one man's unfaithfulness, the entire community struggled and people died. The loss of one man's unfaithfulness was because of one man's, you know, who did not listen to what God is saying. So anyone who don't work as a team, he does not carry the fruit of the Spirit. Anyone who does not take the gospel, that is, go and make disciples, that is the greatest command, as truth and the call of their life, then the fruit of the Spirit is not there. Anyone who does not consecrate themselves, renew their love towards God and people again, then we don't see the fruits of God. Anyone who does not acknowledge the goodness of God in our lives, then there is no fruit bearing in our lives. Anyone who does not acknowledge the goodness of the church, then the fruit of the Spirit is not moving out from our lives. If anyone does not redeem ourselves from our sinful nature, then the fruit of the Spirit is not to be seen in our lives. If anyone is not renewing their covenant with God and people, then the fruit of the Spirit is not working in our lives. Anyone who carries deception and not guarding the community, then the fruit of the Spirit is not working in our lives. As we embrace to this new community, new place, new people, church, I would say, fasten your seatbelt, and God is taking us through. And this journey, I would say, in confidence, it would be an exciting journey. And this journey is not going to stop in that place. This journey is going to kind of like, you know, bring life to many people. And we are excited about it. So as a church, you know, it's our responsibilities. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll read it for all of us. To the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing for dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not toting it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And this new phase, new chapter, new beginning, God is appealing to us that we need to shepherd the flock which God has given us. Not that because you have to do, but because you are willing to move ahead in that direction. So as a church, as this new phase, you know, as we embrace this new journey, new phase, fasten your seatbelt, because more is coming to us. And it says that in verse 5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And this morning, this is an open invitation for all of us to shepherd the flock which God is going to give us. And there is where, as a church, you know, we need to kind of like go and do. So these changes will happen all over the place. These three P's which will happen, these changes will happen. You know, this place, that is the first P, place, these changes we will see God is working. That is people, we will see changes happening over there. We will see changes happening the way pastor responds to all of you. So God embracing this changes to us, as we move forward to the next phase. So, you know, I want to bring some of the changes which we will be seeing over the period of time. Place is sorted. Yes, interiors are coming up. We are putting forward for the people. You know, yesterday we had two meetings for the people. Some things for the pastors as well, that, you know, there should be some change, you know, that side as well. You know, one of the things we want to share from my heart, our heart, as we embrace to this new place. You know, we have people 24/7 at our home. We don't wear an attire of the pastors and come here in front of you. We don't have a special seat, you know, like you see it in other churches. We talk to everyone like our own family. I'll tell you that we don't go behind members. You know, just a few instances, we are not here for people. Count, okay? We don't go for numbers. We have so many people calling us and saying, you want to join this church? And when we hear from them and it's talking about XYZ person, and their pastor, this family, pastor, we love your church. We have seen you all are doing great things. And he's talking to me and I say, please don't come to our church. We're not here for numbers. You know, someone messaged us a few months back, you know, off track. Pastor, this is what I said, please, you know, I would love to hear your message on the day one rather than waiting for 6 months saying that this is what has happened. You know, we had a call yesterday also. Someone said, we want to attend the church. The Spirit leads us. I'm saying we are not here for numbers. We are here for the kingdom expansion. We are here for missional. We are here for the vision of God which God has given. We are here to explode. Bring the love of God in the city of Panvel. You know, with all this, we humble ourselves, sit in this chair, take our own plate and eat. I'm talking about the leadership change. When we humble ourselves, our authority remains the same. If I'm talking to you very friendly, that doesn't mean I will not talk to Jasbir saying that, Jasbir, this is not what you are supposed to do. Our authority remains the same. If you want a friendly pastor, so you should also embrace a friendly, godly person in your life. You know, as a church shepherd, we look things spiritually. We have to protect the sheep. We need to find wolves. We need to see that it's all gated. No one comes in, takes advantage of this wonderful family which God is building in Panvel. People get hurt, but that is how we are. So that we protect this family which God has given. And, you know, we spiritually analyze things. You know, you may think that, okay, some person has said this. We look at the spiritual side, the maturity of that person, and say, if this person has said this, it is not going to benefit our church, benefit us as a community in a longer run. Better that person be happy in a place where this person wants to belong, and we release that person. Because we are not that people. We have never asked for money. We struggled for finances. We struggled for single plate, which we pick up every Sunday to provide for that plate. We have spent more than lakhs of rupees in debts of last financial year. But the community may not be knowing that is how the church leadership works. But this need to be known to the church, how this leadership operates, how this church operates, so that we don't take advantage of what we are getting. Why there is a delay moving in the new place? Because we don't have finances to move to the new place. But we know. We are very confident where we are going. That's the reason we are preaching. We all are here. And there is where. You know, yesterday I got a call from one of our leaders. Said that there's a team from US want to come and see how our church is doing things. And they want to see the potential of our church. And someone may have spoken about our church, right? And there is where we as a church are moving. One thing which I fear, or my heart fears, is when I was typing this, there were tears in my eyes. You know, God knows about it. What I fear is losing you in this new journey. I don't know how many of you will be there with us, but I know we are going to a place where God is calling you. And I was typing this, I said, Lord, let me not lose these good people. And there was tears in my eyes, and I said, Lord, I fear this. Our church will be a church. Only 5 years we will be there in this place. We will move to a bigger place than what we have today. A church will be a place of finances. A church will be a place of resources, good resources. A church will be a voice for many voices. But I fear that in that journey, I should not lose the people like Bharat, Jaspir, all of us in this journey. Because this journey needs to be embraced in faith and in trust. They moved with Joshua. The entire team said, where you go, I will go. You tell us, we will fight war for you. It was not difficult. It was very difficult. Don't think that it was easy. Very difficult. But he moved. So I fear, many of us sitting here will be there with us tomorrow or not. But we are very clear where we are going. And I always feel that these people have put so much of effort for the church over the period of years. Lord, let us not lose them. You know, that is the fear which I have. Not that people went and, you know, no, a lot of people have put their sweat, their efforts, their finances for this community to be in a place today as we move to the next phase. You know, when Moses took the Israelites, why I'm saying biblically, I'll put this up. When Moses took the Israelites out of the Egypt, they cribbed. Many of them lost focus in that journey. I'll tell you, all of them died in desert because of the lack of faith in God and with the leader Moses. Only few people, and the next generation was all new, went to that place. And there is where we fear. And my desire is that all of you join. As I said, there won't be anything. It's a land of Canaan we will be entering. Things will be in abundance. And what if we lose a lovely family member from here who is not part of this journey with us, you know, there? It would be a setback for all of us in our community. You know, a year back, God spoke to us this. And I always remember this, Lord, like, you know, it's so difficult. You have put me in a firing line, Lord. And I was speaking to one of the church, I said, a church member. I said, I have to take all the bullets which is coming from all the side of the church. You know, this is what God spoke to us, you know, 2 years back to us. It is about Hezekiel, but it was said, Lord, Virgil and Sandra, you need to embrace this. I'll read it for all of us. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word, and I speak and give them warnings from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will definitely die because of their sin. But I will uphold you accountable for their blood. Verse 19. But if you do not want the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from the evil ways, they will die from their sin, but you will be saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die because you did not warn them. They will die for their sin. The righteous things that the person did will not be remembered. I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took the warning, and you will have saved yourselves. So, why I read this is, you know, we have been made accountable to the people God has given us. If I don't speak the truth, no one else in your life will speak the truth. And we need to know it's God who appoints the leaders in our lives. No man can come just like that. It is God who appoints kings and leaders in our lives. So you see this. I can't play good music in your ears and say, this sounds good. But I don't want to discourage you as well. But what God has put in our hearts, you know, when we, if I'm visiting to Rekha's house in the bike, you know, before our home, we will ask God, God, what do you want us to speak in their lives today? And we pray and we go. We don't want to go and eat biryani in Rekha's house. What do you want us, Lord? If we don't do it, who will do it? So, this is our role, and this is what we will be doing, and that's where the fear is, that we will lose many of them. But I would say, not all fear of them, but as I said, we look that place, or the new thing which is coming, is massive, and we all move ahead in that direction. Let's remember this. Work as a team. Bring people inside the community. Consecrate ourselves for this new journey. Remember our past from where we are coming from. Leave the things which is not needed for us from Hotel Peace Park and from what we have been doing. Redeem us from our sinful nature. Renew our covenant and guard the community. And all this, we have a, you know, I may fail you, but always remember the good shepherd will not fail us. And there is where Jesus comes as a good shepherd. It says that all of us, a hired one, will run away. But the good shepherd, you know, last Friday we were discussing this in our Bible study till late night, 10:30. 11 we winded up. We were discussing John chapter 10. A good shepherd will lay their life. A good shepherd will serve you biryani. A good shepherd will call you home. The good shepherd will call you even if you have not updated that why you have not come to church. A good shepherd will correct you. The good shepherd will love you. The good shepherd will lay his life for his sheep. And we are not saying we are good shepherd. Jesus is. No one can be good other than God. But we need to embrace that character of goodness. How Jesus being a shepherd to many, as a church, we need to be a shepherd to many. And what a privilege. I bring this journey with an excitement. We know where we are going. Let's move in that journey. Life changing. You know, expansion. As I said, not numbers, boss. We are getting calls. We said, you be where you are. But the people who had the call for God will take on this city and this nation and transform it for his kingdom. So Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, you know, as a church, let's embrace this. I will request all of us to stand.